Welcome to That's Your Opinion.
And you're wrong.
All right. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
We are back for episode technically 3.
Yes.
That last time went off the rails.
We needed a part de.
Yeah. And who knows? We might need another part based off of this one. We'll see.
We're here for the ride, too.
We are. So, this one, we've got some trigger warnings, because I don't know if we're ever going to have an episode we don't have trigger warnings.
We probably always will.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But trigger warnings for this week's episode, transphobia, homophobia, and racism.
Yes.
So it might be a spicy one.
Spicy, and always relevant to what's currently going on in the zeitgeist. For this episode, we're going to be exploring and diving into our opinion on the recent resurgence of influencer-based drama and disappointment, how our relationships with these influencers that we don't actually know and don't have a deep relationship with can sometimes feel like a relationship that maybe we're entitled to have an opinion on and strong reactions to. And that's sort of how it's been going. People have had strong reactions to influencers doing, saying certain things, living their life, and a lot of drama has ensued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's that weird, like, what's it called? Intersection of famous people, but not necessarily celebrities, but also, like, where is that line anymore? Mm-hmm. When does one become a celebrity, air quote?
Yeah. When do we perceive an influencer as a celebrity? How? They have over 1 million followers? 2, 3, 4? Some people have more than that now. It's very interesting. And to have this, like, one-sided relationship where people feel entitled to closeness and entitled to, like, an influencer living a certain way and having really strong reactions, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how is that dynamic that's going on between influencer culture and the people that consume what influencers are putting out a microcosm of our broader culture when we look at politics or things like that? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that there's definitely it's big. It's a big world. There's lots of influencers and lots of people, millions and millions of people that follow these folks. And what does that say about our culture at large?
So if we were going to, you know, set our opening premise, my opening premise is that your opinion is wrong about parasocial relationships with influencers and canceling doesn't work.
Oh, I love that second one. It really doesn't work. We keep trying, though.
We keep trying.
It keeps going up all the time. And I think that your opinion is wrong that influencer culture has nothing to do with mental health and is not a microcosm of our society at large, because I think it very much is. And I think that mental health issues, for example, are on full display when it comes to these interactions. We see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this all starts from we were talking probably like a week or two ago about Lashgate.
Ah, Lashgate. I actually witnessed Lashgate myself. I follow Michaela on TikTok. She came across my page like a year ago. She's a beauty influencer from Massachusetts who talks about being Portuguese on her channel. And she has become, I think last time I checked, she had 4.4 people following her on TikTok alone. She's on all the platforms, like so many influencers. And she was doing an ad, like a paid partnership with L'Oreal for mascara. And the end product at the end of that video was beautiful, full lashes. And there were instant comments of, hey, you put falsies on. There are fake lashes there. What's happening? And lots of lashback. Mm-hmm. So funny. Oh my God. Sorry, I can't. That was not planned.
Lashback.
There was a lot. There was lashback about these little wispies that were put on the end of her lashes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. making this false advertisement. And people felt a lot about it. They felt a lot about it. They were very upset. and demanded an explanation. And I thought, this is very dramatic. Over one ad. She does paid partnerships with a million people. And she puts out videos basically every day. She's always coming across my TikTok. So it was really interesting. I didn't understand why it was so dramatic. And people felt like literally she had broken their trust for life, the way that they were commenting about
it. Oh, yeah. Like, betrayed to the highest level of betrayal related to this. And, like, full disclosure, I don't have a TikTok. I don't really have any social media. But I was on YouTube and I saw just an avalanche of videos about Lashgate and Michaela and how can makeup influencers ever be trusted again? And it immediately sent me back to like a decade ago when this was happening previously. And what our conversation ended up moving from Michaela was into everyone's favorite infamous makeup star, Jeffree Star.
Resurrecting, like, Tales from the Crypt. After months of not posting to bash and make fun of Michaela and basically say, like, hello, I'm very interested in this mascara all of a sudden. And, you know, I saw that video everyone's talking about. It does look really strange and had a lot of opinions. And, very dramatic and... like, why? I was just so confused. And then after that, and I felt really salty about this because, you know, algorithms. Then I'm not even following Jeffree Star and I have to, like, block the account if I don't want to see Jeffree Star. Because constantly, the minute that randomly came across my feed because it's related to Michaela, every second it's another Jeffree Star video. I don't want to see them. Anyhow, so that was that. That started this whole drama into... now people are talking about both of those influencers and their past stuff and their relationship. And, oh, one's DMing the other and the other's not responding. And it's so strange to me that we have, actually for me, being as old as I am, like this much access to people's personal life. Not only what they put out, because they decide what they put out.
Or perception of access.
Good point. But I feel like I even have too much information that I don't even know if it's true. But, like, why? Why am I getting this information? Why is Jeffree posting a video that he DM'd Michaela and he knows she read the message but didn't respond? Like, also, I don't care. You know, so it's just, like, annoying that I'm just sort of forced by this information. But also, I know I'm in some ways an odd person out because some people live for that shit. And they're online, like, loving to see and just get this information. They feel so part of it. I get the appeal. It's just not really for me. I feel like it's stressful. Like, I shouldn't have this much access to you and all the stuff in the background.
I mean, but also the rise of the just YouTube drama channels, which also can be attributed to Jeffree Star of way back in time when he had his first... experience with being well, people attempting to cancel him because he was racist. And then all these drama channels appear on YouTube and their entire purpose is to track the drama in the beauty community involving Jeffree Star, Jackie Aina, Manny MUA, Nikita Dragon. Like, that was the entire reason they exist. And it's really interesting, like you were saying, of like how much access we have, how much access we think we have, and how much access influencers feel they have to give in these. And I keep revolving around this kind of idea of the parasocial relationship that exists between fans and people who feel that they are connected to a celebrity. And for people that don't know, a parasocial relationship is a psychological / sociological term that refers to a one-way relationship between people. And it's become very common in the media sphere these days because we see a lot of influencers living a life, living a vibe, and then they start earning trust. They start earning cred. They start earning a reputation, and people start depending on them for that thing. And I think Lashgate and Michaela demonstrate this really well, because a big thing I was seeing people talking about underneath videos about this was, oh, but she was one of the good ones. She didn't lie to us. She was trustworthy. She did all these things. And people just feeling so deeply and personally offended that Michaela allegedly lied.
That's true. I have a question for you, though. As you were saying what you were just saying, what about the illusion of the connection, though, and how it can get a little tricky because of the way, and I'm not following all these influencers, but I can speak to Michaela. I'm shocked by how much she's in the comments. She's in the comments messaging people really a lot. She's spending a ton of time connecting with people, engaging. And I feel like that might be a component to this, that even if it's one-sided, I feel like, especially for some influencers more than others, there may be a sense of connection because of the way that person is really spending a lot of time. I remember thinking, how does she have time to do this? But also, this is how she's built a following. It's a big part of it, because people feel like they have access to her. She's a real person, treating them like a real, you know, as people following, as another real person. Like, you're just like me, right? Celebrities are just like us. People Magazine, right? Like, it's that vibe of what people, I feel like, what, for Michaela anyway, they find so appealing. But yeah, you can't do that, though, because that's not my image of you. My image of you was that you were down to earth and honest, and you have to be this certain way. And don't do that. Like, that wasn't the agreement we had. It's like, you were one of like 4.4 million followers. What agreement?
But it's the job. That's the entire job of an influencer, is to produce these relationships, these parasocial relationships, produce an image of some sort, and everything you do is in service of that image to keep it up, to keep going. And I think this is where it starts getting interesting, between the split between an influencer and a celebrity. Because it just reminds me of Taylor Swift and her Reputation tour.
Yeah.
Where it seems like basically Taylor just got tired of having to be the image that Taylor had become, of this person that's kind of boy crazy, this person that will take revenge on you by writing songs about you, that will sick her fans on you with all this stuff. And she just got tired of it and decided to, like, you know what, I'm just gonna rebrand. And I think what's, to me, the difference between a celebrity and an influencer is that if you cannot rebrand, you're not a celebrity.
That's so true. That's a good point. But also, there's always these threats of canceling, but then who actually is getting canceled? Do you know of influencers that are actually canceled and, like, never come back from that?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if I'm thinking about it, I can't really think of anyone that has ever been, like, effectively canceled. I think of people who have lost opportunities temporarily.
Or followers.
And I think of people who have had to move into a different sphere because wherever they used to exist no longer wants them. So now they have to transition and do something else, which I've called the Candace Owens effect, otherwise known as the Condoleezza Rice effect, otherwise known as chameleoning. And we're going to dive more into that part in a little bit, because I think there's something specifically interesting about how this starts intersecting with politics in a bit. But we wanted to give folks kind of like, not a full timeline, because you know we love our timelines on That's Your Opinion. but we're not going to give you a full timeline on the chaos that is beauty YouTubing. But so we're going to give you a little bit of information about Jeffree Star. We're going to kind of focus on Jeffree Star for a bit, because Jeffree is an interesting case example of attempts to cancel, failures of attempts to cancel, and chameleoning.
Yes.
Chameleoning. I can't say that. That's not a word.
Chameleoning. I just thought a chameleon air for randomly. Yeah, okay. Not related. That's a different episode. And pivoting. I just think of Jeffrey and I think of pivot. Pivot. I'm going to pivot.
Yeah.
You know? He's just like spinning out of control.
It's basically the cha-cha, slide to the left.
It is.
Slide to the right. It's literally
bobbing
that.
And weaving and just ducking mm-hmm. the attempts to cancel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will do anything to survive. You are a scrappy fella.
He's scrappy. He is. And if you were to look at him, you would not think he's scrappy.
No, he looks very frail.
And dear listeners, please, please pause the podcast. Google Jeffree Star.
And come back.
And come back. Okay. So, Jeffree Star, you looked at him, so now you're back.
Yeah.
So, Jeffree Star is 37. He's an American YouTuber, makeup artist, and former singer-songwriter. He once had a song with Nicki Minaj.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't know that. I gotta look that up.
I think it's called Blush.
Oh, no.
Maybe.
Was it good?
I have never listened to it.
We're gonna listen to it after the episode, y'all.
We will. We'll see. And for the fact that I don't want to get sued by Jeffree Star, it was amazing.
Incredible.
Great.
You listen to it and you actually have like a little flush to your cheeks.
Yeah, you get activated.
Activated. I'm getting activated talking about Jeffree Star. Anyway.
So he's the founder and owner of Jeffree Star Cosmetics, which he founded in November 2014. And in 2018, Forbes reveals that he had earned $18 million.
Wow. Just from YouTube.
Just from YouTube. Mm-mm. Which that year made him the fifth highest paid YouTuber. As of now, Jeffree has 4.5 million followers on TikTok, and he used to have over 40 million followers across all of his platforms, and that's of 2021.
Yeah, back to your point of how maybe not canceled, but you can see shifts based on all of the controversy, like people are brought down a peg or more, and then they pivot and try to kind of see where they can cha-cha slide to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things related to Jeffree start way back in 2014.
Wow, what was happening in the world back then?
Oh, what was happening in 2014?
My goodness.
Oh my, what was I doing in 2014? Okay. I was an undergrad. I was a junior or a rising senior.
Oh, I feel so old right now. I very much had graduated from my undergrad program, and I had been living in Reno for 2 years, so I was still pretty new to the West Coast. But getting settled in and thinking, I don't think I'm going back to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about, I was just about to apply to grad school. Uh-huh. So a lot was happening, and I was realizing that wildfires are a thing out here.
Oh, yeah.
And very upset that I didn't get that memo.
Before you got out here?
Yeah, I didn't understand why there was always smoke.
Like, definitely.
Always.
I remember this moving here in 2020 and just being like, oh, so there's this entire season where the air is literally toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Cool.
Great.
West Coast problems.
So yeah, this starts in 2014, but it does not start directly with Jeffree Star.
Mm-hmm.
It actually starts with, and we'll introduce you to another character now, by the name of Shane Dawson. So before I explain, did you have any idea who Shane Dawson was?
No.
Before we started digging through this?
No. Not at all, really. I hadn't heard of him. I know he's super famous, but I hadn't like seen him on YouTube personally.
Super famous might be generous.
Well, but you super famous on YouTube, right?
Yes. Right? Yes. So
yeah.
Shane Dawson, who's 34 now, was a filmer, writer, and musician. I don't know what musicianship he did, but that's what his Wikipedia said.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the first people to rise to fame on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So he started making videos in 2008 at the age of 19, and he garnered 500 million views in 2 years.
That's so much.
Which, part of that, and this is shade, there was not a lot of competition on YouTube those days.
But that's true. Was this the era of the Bo Burnham, right? Was Bo Burnham, like, coming up around that time? Or
Bo... 'cause
I feel like Bo also started younger.
He did start younger.
Became famous on YouTube and like also has some of the like comedic background and stuff like yes. that.
Yes. Actually, that's a really good connection because Bo and Shane did similar-ish comedy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Back in those days.
Non-PC, sometimes awkward. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Most of Dawson's work, so Shane's work and by connection, Bo, was comedy sketches where he would do original characters, impersonate celebrities, and make light of just general popular culture. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, you know, it's gotten criticism for their offensive context, including a lot of the time some racial stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And this is what started in 2014, was a different YouTuber, Francesca Ramsey, who's a comedian. She also had a show for a while on the PBS YouTube channel where she would talk about kind of like Black history, but also kind of popular history types of things. She has a great video about African-American vernacular English, if you're ever interested in watching that. But Francesca called out Shane in kind of a similar vein of how Shane would wear blackface. And he had a popular video. I'm pretty sure the video's gone now, but it's a video of him impersonating Wendy Williams, and he's in blackface doing so. And he responded in a very interesting way. He responds by calling her the epitome of a hater. And then his fans start attacking her, which is vile racism.
Yeah.
He then posts an apology video. So this was the era
of apology videos.
And actually, Shane was one of the first to originate the apology video. And it kind of, so this kind of is where it starts. So then 2 years later, Jeffree Star gets pulled into it through a very unlikely way of Kat Von D. Remember Kat Von D?
My first memory of Kat Von D was that show, the tattoo show.
Yes, Tattoo Ink Masters, was that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was Ink Masters. And I remember she had like a waiting list for a tattoo. It was like 4 years or something. And all these people wanted to get portraits by her. She was like, gotta get the black and white portrait with Kat Von D. And then I thought it was seemingly random that she started a makeup line. And then I was probably like the last to know that the company had been sold and it wasn't really hers anymore. But just interesting things I've heard about her over the years, being an anti-vaxxer and then like learning that there's been controversy about her being anti-Semitic and saying racist things. And it's just, also side note, why do all of them do that? Pretty much. There's this theme of racism and homophobia, transphobia, like just issues within this influencer community that are just gross. Like, it doesn't surprise me that Jeffree and Sean like connected. They also use the N-word very frequently, and like they use African-American vernacular, and they're just really problematic in some of the similar ways. And I'm like, why are you like this? Could you just not? And that's also gonna be a theme we touch on in a couple ways today. But
it brings up this really interesting point related to this of like, if we didn't have as much access to these people's inner worlds, there's a very good chance we would never know this stuff.
Oh, it's so true.
And it, you know, it kind of makes you think of like, you know, celebrities of the days gone past. We would probably end up learning about some of the terrible stuff they did when they were dead.
Yeah, you're right.
But in this new world of unprecedented access to everyone's everything at all times, everything everywhere all at once, we learn it instantaneously.
Yeah, we do.
And then it's permanent. It just exists forever.
And then there's an apology video from Shane or someone else confirming, yes, I did blackface. Yes, I used the N-word multiple times. Yes, I've said an inappropriate thing about underage folks. Yes, yeah. And it's just like, then that's public record essentially forever.
Yeah, it just exists. And like part of this thing in 2016 with Jeffree is that Kat Von D called him out for not paying someone that he worked with at some point. But what really started coming out was footage of Star from 2004, 2006, showing him chasing women down the street, calling them the N-word, and cursing them out, apparently at random.
What?
And then in a skit from 2006, he makes a joke about using battery acid to lighten a woman's skin tone.
Oh my God.
He also has used the N-word and other derogatory terms in his music, referring to a black person as an ape, made offensive comments about Mexicans, and consistently uses the term rat to describe black women.
Oh, it's so disgusting.
And this becomes a big thing because a very popular makeup YouTuber. Yes, that's the correct phrase.
Yeah.
Makeup YouTuber Jackie Aina, who is just a beautiful goddess.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Does what she calls an anti-haul video, where she's basically using makeup from people that she hates.
I love it though.
But also talking about like why she doesn't like these people, like what did they do, what's connected to it,
what are their words, what are their actions, and like what are they actually putting out there, and why should we support these people?
To which I will also point this out: Jackie's video still exists. You can watch it right now. Her video from 2017 about why she's calling out Jeffree Star, but all the stuff that Jeffree Star has done in his past that he's not, that is connected to this, gone.
Gone with the wind.
So that, to me, indicates guilt, but...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Here nor there, I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, whatever. but back to the rat thing. So Jackie Aina calls Jeffree out, and in classic Jeffree fashion, he calls her a rat, which...
Was that his response to her open letter?
The open letter comes later.
After my goodness.
Dramageddon 2.0.
There's multiple parts to this Dramageddon.
So this ended in the first canceling of Jeffree Star.
There were multiple attempts.
Multiple attempts. So he gets canceled for this. Then 2 years later, for some reason, Shane Dawson decides to crawl out of the hole that he's been in for the last several years, and then meets up with Jeffree, who's rising from the crypt, and they decide to make a 5-part docuseries that's called The Secret World of Jeffree Star.
The docuseries no one needed or asked for.
Literally no one.
They're like, you know, we've been laying low for a while. Let's roll tape.
And this, to me, demonstrates the first version of how people get uncancelled. So they produce this, and it quickly becomes one of the most watched videos on YouTube. But we canceled them. We're supposed to be giving them no airtime. And yet, in a week, this thing has 5.1 million views.
It didn't stick. What is it about them that it didn't stick? We just love the access so much.
It's the drama,
we
right?
We love the drama.
It's like, oh, the two most problematic people on YouTube made
I can't look away.
Movie? Gotta watch this.
Gotta watch it.
Like, so, okay. So
I hate it.
And to me, that like this is the first part of canceling doesn't work. Like, you cancel someone, but because we're in this kind of stage right now where we just need to know information about people all the time, that the second they do something, we're all in it. They're trending on Twitter, they're suddenly, millions of articles are being written about this, like it's something that it's vaguely inescapable. And and it's that weird part of like, once someone's canceled, if they breathe, there's 14 articles about it.
It's true. This person is still alive and they're doing things. It's like there was a threat of canceling Michaela, wasn't even canceled, and you got wind of it through random YouTube stuff that was pushed out to you. You weren't on TikTok like me looking at the video live of what the controversy was about in real time. But yet, because of the way this all like works, you heard about it through some totally different platform. So
had actually no interest in it.
Yeah, doesn't matter. You're going to get it.
Now I know. It reminds me of that old quote of everything I learned about the Kardashians, I learned against my will. This
is exactly right.
Everything I've learned about Michaela, I have learned against my will. And that's just where we are with that. It reminds me too of after the, you know, allegations came out about how Chris Brown, which is beating Rihanna.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was very much parts of it where Rihanna got, I'm going to say, support with heavy air quotes.
Yeah.
Around what happened. But I just have this distinct memory of all of the articles and all of the videos just detailing Chris Brown's every movement for the last 10 years at length.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, okay, so if I was a victim in this,
mm-hmm.
and literally the only thing that I'm seeing is Chris Brown beat me, and here's an entire anthology of his entire life.
Yeah.
I don't know if if that helps.
Yeah, it doesn't. Highlights that person, like the spotlight's on them.
Mm-hmm. Weird, yeah. And gross. But I'm curious, like, from your perspective, is this different,
mm-hmm.
from, let's say, Whitney Bobby in the 80s?
Yes and no. I think there's always been a fascination with the private lives of people, celebrities or otherwise, or I'll just say para-celebrities, make that a word.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way that we were consuming that information in the past, we did not have this level of access.
Mm-hmm.
There were not multiple platforms that I was connected to that I could even like be on there to see. So it was more distant and like less details, and there were also other things that would sort of distract from them. And we wouldn't go so deep down these rabbit holes. But now we have 50 rabbit holes at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just diving into them like ad nauseum. I don't remember that being my experience,
mm-hmm.
back then.
I kind of agree. Like, I, of course, I was not alive.
Spoilers.
But I do remember, mm-hmm. and we were talking about this too, about this was like when Bradgelina,
mm-hmm.
was a thing, right. Or when was the other one,
Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt.
Oh yeah, Bennifer. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Bennifer.
When Bennifer was a thing, and then all this stuff, like, yeah, we had access to it in that, like, we had the tabloids that were guessing,
mm-hmm.
a lot about what happened, but at least in that time period, you almost never got confirmation or details.
You're right. No, there would be, Jennifer got a new haircut. How is she feeling now about Brad? It's like,
mm-hmm.
She got a haircut. Like,
mm-hmm.
Or it's like, she's eating different. Is she okay? Like, what? And so, yeah, I think that there was more speculation. It seemed more like a tabloid thing. And it was also then, I feel like it didn't hook you as much because you just thought, like, half of this is probably bogus.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you're getting it from the source a lot of the time.
Fresh from the tap.
Actual people that have resurrected, like you said, or respawned.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a different phenomenon. Yes, real time.
It's happening immediately. Like, I can track straight through. Like, the fact that we can build these timelines
is wild.
And it takes minimal effort.
Yeah, yeah. It's all there.
To build these timelines.
We've got tabs on tabs. We can just, like, look anything up at any second.
Immediately. And it also goes into Dramageddon 1.0, Dramageddon 2.0, Dramageddon 2.1, Dramageddon 3.0. And for those that are uninitiated to the beauty world, the Dramageddons are multiple situations where, would it be fair to say, like, some of the most well-known names in, mm-hmm. beauty, influencing,
yeah.
were just all fighting.
All sparring. Yep.
At the same time.
Yeah. It reminds me of celebrities that spar on Twitter and they, mm-hmm. get into these Twitter battles and then people know about that kind of subculture thing. There's a whole version of that with beauty influencers.
Mm-hmm. And it involves so many people. I named some of these people earlier. Mm-hmm. We had Manny MUA, Gabriel Zamora, Laura Lee, Nikita Dragon, James Charles, Toddy Westbrook, just all of these people just feuding,
mm-hmm.
with each other. And this to me demonstrates the second part of why canceling doesn't work, mm-hmm. because even if a group decides, like, hey, we're done with this, we're over it, whatever, as long as other people that are involved in it aren't, it just keeps going. So my shining example of this is when James Charles got canceled because people felt I'm saying that because there is no proof and I don't want to get sued, that he had been being predatory to straight men on the apps. And basically he would just relentlessly message straight men to get them to consider sleeping with him.
Right.
And this all came out, and it involved him and Toddy Westbrook, who I think at the time was in her mid-30s.
I think so, yeah.
And James Charles was 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, basically, James Charles gets canceled. Mm-hmm. But because Toddy's not over it, Jeffree Star's not over it, because he's back.
Of course.
And several other influencers are not over it. You still never stopped hearing about or seeing James Charles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so interesting how then, like, all these other people will talk about it. And then that person who, like, again, maybe got, like, the initial kind of hit on their follower base and they have less followers, then has a resurgence. Like, they slowly start to bounce back because then they're posting their own reaction video of like, hi, I have been away for a while, but I just wanted to come on here and just tell my side of it. You've been hearing a lot of things from these other influencers. Here's my take. So I feel like we also had this like kind of not just the apology video trend, but the let me tell you about my mental health struggle. Let me tell you about where I've been or what I've been up to or my side video. And then that kind of reactivates all these other people. And it's just this, like, nonstop connected thing. It's like a web.
And I think it's also part of it in that, like, none of these people are bad at what they do. They're very good at what they do. James Charles is very good in makeup. Jeffree Star has, and it pains me to say it, one of the best influencer makeup brands that exists.
It's the pigment. The pigment's really intense.
The pigment be pigmenting.
It is.
The brushes be brushing. Like, it's...
The mirrors are cute.
The mirrors are mirroring. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
That's important to bring up because, you know, they get canceled and, like you said, they get the initial drop off. But then there's an infinite number of more people that are getting into makeup, that are getting on YouTube or whatever.
Yep.
And they might just have no access to all the other people that are mad. Yes. At James Charles.
Oh, I can tell you I was one of them. Because when I first heard about Jeffree Star, I randomly ran into some video. I don't think it was on TikTok. It was, I think, some post or something that Jeffree Star had done. And then went into a makeup store and saw the palettes and saw things for the first time with my own eyes. Didn't purchase anything, but like was like, oh, this is a little bit spendy. But, you know, like this looks kind of like unique colors, pretty pigmented. And, you know, the brand was already taken off, like, Jeffree Star had been in the business for years by then, but just not on my radar. So I didn't know about all the drama until afterwards. It was actually when you had mentioned that there was drama with Jeffree. I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot. I missed a lot. But I also was just starting to get into, like, the beauty influencer world. And that was sort of the start of it. Jeffree, Nikki tutorials, and then, like, more recently, Michaela. And Michaela had been around for a while. But, yeah, some people are new to this, and they don't know the whole context. But you soon find out. There's always fresh drama.
And sometimes you find out, and sometimes you don't. Like, for example, I got into a Manny MUA during COVID when I decided to get back into drag. And I was trying to find someone that did a feminine kind of beat, but also didn't necessarily get rid of the masculine parts of their face.
Yeah.
Like, Manny doesn't contour to make his face round because he's like, I'm a man and I wear makeup.
Yeah.
And I don't like James Charles. Not because of his controversy, I just don't like his voice. But so I'm watching Manny MUA and I didn't know anything about any of this drama or whatever. And I was telling a different friend, I was like, oh my god, have you watched Manny's videos? She was like, oh my god, you watch Manny's videos? Do you remember like all that drama he was in? I was like, what are you talking about?
You know what? No, you're right, because I didn't know about the Manny drama. Yeah. I feel like you don't know till you know, but you don't always know. Like I said, you told me about the Jeffree drama.
And for me, I didn't stuff care.
Yeah.
Because again, I don't expect these people to be anything other than salespeople. I don't inherently trust Manny's opinion on things.
Or make assumptions about like who Manny is as a human being in every aspect of Manny's life because they're doing a makeup tutorial.
Right. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how this seems to also have an interesting connection with our current political landscape. And is there a better alternative in seeking accountability than canceling people?
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. All right, so we are back.
We're back.
So this last little part, we want to try to focus more on like how this seems to not just be relevant to the makeup community, because nothing is ever relevant to just one community, but how this kind of like spreads to places. And I thought the place to start with this is Jeffrey's comments about non-binary people.
So much drama. And honestly, while I didn't expect much from Jeffrey, this was very specifically gross. I was like, why? Again, why? So he appeared on an episode of the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and he was talking to Taylor, who was interviewing him, and basically talked about, you know, like, his rise to fame, ebb and flow, and then why he quit the LGBTQ plus community. And, you know, was kind of talking about, like, in his own words that were gross, why he doesn't, you know, like, have a positive view of the community and doesn't identify as being part of it. And so specifically what he said was, quote unquote, "I'm not interested in any of the other nonsense, they and them respectively, and all the nonsense we threw during the pandemic because everyone was bored in their effing houses." And then went on to say, "This is why conservatives love me." Because I will say the thing that other people won't say. This is my truth. And this is what, you know, insinuated from my understanding, allegedly, asterisk, that this is what no one else has the guts to say.
Well, and not even just guts, but like, he didn't specifically was talking to Taylor and was like, "See, you couldn't say this," pointing out that Taylor is a straight white man, and it says, "You can't say this because if you say it, people are going to call you homophobic and trans," like, but you need someone that looks like me to say it. And I'm like, no, Jeffrey, you're just homophobic.
Yeah, you're just homophobic. I feel like it came across as like someone else in the community could say this, but I, you know, I have the guts to say it. Like, I'm going to say it. Like, someone needs to say it. You know, other people may want to. I had this weird, it was just a very weird vibe watching that. I was like, what are, okay, you're not speaking for anybody, actually, except yourself. But you just come off so weird about it. Like, you're special and you have like this bravery about you, and no, you're just homophobic. That's what it is.
But here's the thing, right? Because Jeffree Star is who Jeffree Star is, it can be pointed out as he's speaking for the community.
Yes.
And this is why I labeled this the Candace Owens Condoleezza Rice effect, of they are both Black women who identify as conservative when they didn't used to. Up until 1986, Condoleezza Rice was a Democrat, and Candace Owens used to run a liberal anti-Trump blog. And then both of them at some point, and I will be fair here, and I will split out the difference between Condoleezza Rice and Candace Owens, and that Condoleezza Rice has said many times that she stopped being a Democrat because she disagreed with, I think it was Jimmy Carter, maybe? I don't know. Someone's foreign policy at that time, and she agreed more with a Republican foreign policy there, so, and that's why she switched, which, okay, perfectly legitimate. You can change your opinion, you can change your, you know, who you support, whatever. Candace Owens, a little bit more sketchy. It seems to be a general understanding that she switched because it was profitable. And what it seems to be in both of these situations, and how it connects to Jeffree Star and connects to this over just influencer thing of canceling people frequently just incentivizes them to go to another community that will, in a lot of ways, use them as a token.
Yeah.
In order to make a point.
Commodify them. And, you know, that's what influencers are actually all about. But then they kind of get wrapped up in it a different way, right? It's, you know, it's like a pivot. Like I was saying earlier with the way that Jeffrey has pivoted, so many people do pivot to survive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sort of like, hey, I need something. You need something. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And there's an exchange. Mm-hmm. How can we be useful to each other?
It is more or less a Faustian deal.
Mm-hmm.
Of I am willing to work against my own interests
mm-hmm.
in this space because the group that I thought, and I think this is where it connects with the people who feel betrayed by the influencer, mm-hmm. is I think the influencer feels betrayed by the people.
Mm-hmm.
That they never thought they were going to be treated this way by this group of people, these people that care about them, or like usually even end up having a name for the people that follow you. Like yeah. James Charles had the sisters. Like you were all, mm-hmm. hi sisters. Like yeah. everyone had that thing.
The voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think James felt very, very betrayed when people mm-hmm. were like just deciding like, oh, you're a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
And it, to me, demonstrates the danger of canceling when what you're really doing is pushing people into these darker, mm-hmm. quieter, less connected, less visible parts of the internet where they then can be used as these things. Like, I can't remember the amount of times that people, when Trump was running for office, being like, oh, Trump can't be racist. He likes Candace Owens. And I'm like, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Or how many times, mm-hmm. because Candace Owens said something, it was like, well, black people believe this. Like, yes, because Candace Owens speaks for all black people.
Right, mm-hmm.
Right. That's the thing. Like, the only person that speaks for all black people is Beyonce.
This is the truth. And I think it depends on who is watching the comments from Jeffrey or other people as far as how they really take that, like what community you're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still not good. It's still dangerous and it's still gross. Mm-hmm. And it still is like, I think that's such a good point you made. It's really a way of lashing out and saying like, yeah, I'll do what I need to do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I will reinvent whatever I need to reinvent. I will move to a yak farm in the middle of the country. I will do whatever I need to do to, you know, keep my livelihood,
mm-hmm.
right? Because so many of these people, when they get to this level, this is their livelihood. Mm-hmm. And they will, if you push someone to figure out how to survive, they will, even if they take other people down or throw mm-hmm. other people under the bus, like they will do it. And yeah, it just creates new and exciting problems.
Mm-hmm. And in that way, I can't blame them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if up until this point, your entire career has been being a public figure, has been putting your entire world on display for everyone to consume, and then suddenly, in a lot of cases, with very little evidence, you are being canceled, mm-hmm. and although I also say a lot of times, we end up looking a little deeper, and you're like, nope, that was correct, we were correct. A
lot of evidence. Roll the tape, there's a lot of tape.
You have to find a way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for a lot of these people, because they've been in the public eye for so long, there's very limited choices
mm-hmm.
for what you can do, air quotes, post-canceling.
Right.
And if you get canceled hard enough, you become a toxic product for a while,
mm-hmm.
and you just, no one's gonna touch you
mm-hmm.
for a hot minute.
Yeah.
So I, as much as I think this is both a social issue and a personal issue, it's definitely something to examine of like, okay, so I think we are building enough of an evidence base to state that canceling is just not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just a group deciding like, this person is a persona non grata and we are just gonna go ahead and no one's allowed to talk to this person ever again. No, that seems to not be working.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's not effective for several reasons. But I think one of the main ones is kind of going back to what we were talking about with like how we consume this information and how that's changed over time. we are more interconnected in terms of technology and the way that we consume information and communicate than ever at this point in time. I have been on this earth for several decades, and I can just say that, like, if these people existed back when I was like 18, 19, there would be no way for me to even get this information, to even know someone was like attempting to cancel somebody. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to like see their every move, like you mentioned with Chris Brown, like for years. That wouldn't be a thing. But this is the world we live in. Mm-hmm. We are highly interconnected. So to even think that this is a thing is very unrealistic. And mm-hmm. people are going to do what they psychologically do. Anything to survive, to meet their basic needs. And for some people, like the Jeffree Stars of the world, their basic needs are very extreme because they are used to living a lavish lifestyle. So, you know, yeah, they may have to concede and make changes in their life because they don't have as much influence as they used to, but they will go down swinging. Like, they will try mm-hmm. and get creative. Even I think we underestimate creativity.
We underestimate the survival instinct, mm-hmm. and we underestimate the amount that people will do to prove something. Mm-hmm. And I think it seems connected to kind of our general political stance right now of as polarization increases, mm-hmm. the need to find examples of your point in different contexts is more and more and more important. Mm. It used to be fine, just like, oh, my group believes this, that's fine, we're good, it's mm-hmm. whatever. Now we're kind of entering, I don't think we're entering, we're already here,
yeah.
of like, you also have to find people that are air quotes from the other side to support whatever you're saying. Mm. Otherwise, it's not as valid. Sometimes it doesn't matter that it's not as valid, mm-hmm. but if you happen to be someone that doesn't believe non-binary people should exist, and you find someone that looks like Jeffree Star to agree with that statement, you're gonna go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna commodify that relationship. And that seems to be like a big theme here. It's just like commodifying things, right? Like mm-hmm. you have a product, sell the product. And the product could be an idea. The product could be something like a highly pigmented makeup or a really dangerous stereotype or mm-hmm. discriminatory idea.
Mm-hmm. And people generally support things that they agree with, right? Mm-hmm. So for Jeffree, this is also safety, because it's like, oh, mm-hmm. well, if I can get these people who lean more conservative mm-hmm. to see me as non-threatening,
yeah,
I just opened up a brand new area of marketing mm-hmm. that I get to exploit. And like, does Jeffree believe any of this stuff? Who knows?
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the irony of this all. We will never truly know.
We will never know.
We have the illusion that we know some of these people in any kind of way. At the end of the day, we don't really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get a glimpse into it because I do find, and again, this is my bias because maybe I'm being gullible here, but when Michaela says, you know what, this is a video about me feeling really crappy and depressed mm-hmm. and my mental health is tanking, that to me comes across as genuine. And also there's a benefit to her in doing that, mm-hmm. right? Like, she has talked about the pros and cons of being open about her mental health struggles, and other people too. And it's just that I find really interesting, that like feeling of like you're getting the realness of a person and something authentic, when really like that whole person's identity is wrapped up in like the fact they're an influencer and it's part of the whole shtick, you know? Mm-hmm. And how do you parse out and piece out as a consumer, like what's real and not?
Yeah.
Health can ultimately.
It's that thing of like multiple things can be true at the same time, mm-hmm. right? Like, is it possible that Michaela was actually suffering through whatever? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
it likely? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it also true that that is going to contribute to the parasocial relationship and make her feel more relatable, make more people feel they can trust her, make more people feel that she would never betray them? Yes.
Yes. And then, ironically, or not so great for her or other influencers, then when that, some would say small, some wouldn't, I'll leave the lashes on the counter, would say that that's like a, it feels like more of a sting because mm-hmm. they have that depth of the relationship. So it's for the influencer a bit of a blessing and a curse depending on who you are and what mm-hmm. we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So it, there's always that risk
and how
of
the vulnerability. You can maintain it. Mm-hmm. And I think that leads me to mm-hmm. my final part of this, which is kind of, I'm using her as kind of a contrast mm-hmm. to this, mm-hmm. but I'm also thinking of it more of like, I think she's just better at it. and that's Nikki Tutorials.
Yeah.
Who I will openly admit is my favorite mm-hmm. beauty influencer. Mm-hmm. I have followed her for a very, very long time. I find her to be absolutely delightful. I think she shares a very measured mm-hmm. amount of her life. Mm-hmm. Not a ton, but not also not none. And that's connected with kind of why I find her interesting in this part. So Nikki Tutorials is Dutch. She's from the Netherlands. And her actual name is Nikki De Jager, which I'm like, could you be any more Dutch?
Very Dutch.
And in 2020, Nikki Tutorials was forced out of the closet and was forced to say publicly that she's trans because she was being blackmailed. Mm-hmm. By a previous fan who had found out that she was trans and determined that she had no right to keep that from her fans. That her fans needed to know that she wasn't a, air quote, real woman. Mm-hmm. And Nikki made a video where she talked about this. It's a very emotional video to watch because it demonstrated for me what we're talking about of an influencer being betrayed. She was like, I can't believe that my fans mm-hmm. would do this to me, that someone that would consider me, you know, someone that they cared about would do this to me. And what I find interesting about this or different is that after she came out and she, you know, she'd write that message, the Dutch government actually supported her, mm-hmm. like released statements saying that they supported her and that they were so ashamed at how she was forced to come out, and that's no one should be forced to make a decision. That's always up to exactly who you are and how you do that. To the fact that Nikki was invited to be a host for Eurovision, mm-hmm. Which caused a whole uproar because at the time, I'm trying to remember which country it was. It might have been Hungary. Or Poland, I don't remember which one. But one country actually refused to do an interview with her because she was trans. Hmm. And they said that that was going to be a thing. And there was a lot of talk about how the Netherlands was going to withdraw her and, like, not have her do the thing. And they doubled down and said, no. She is one of the most famous people in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. and we support her. Mm-hmm. And a way that being an influencer can be used for good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How even drama can be used for good. Mm-hmm. And I think, as I was saying previously, and, you know, I don't want this to come off as negative or mean towards Nikki, but I think she's just really savvy at how to do this.
You know, you're right, though. I do love Nikki so much. Nikki Tutorials, it's a great channel and really great content. And to be honest... Oh, the Michaela fans. Because I do like Michaela. But I think Nikki comes off more genuine. Mm-hmm. I think because of the way that she engages and the things she shares. And I have feelings, and I've shared this with you quite a bit recently, in comparing them. And I don't want to just pick at Michaela or just compare these two. But I kind of have been. Because honestly, the way that Michaela was able to just sort of respond non-directly about her controversy, and then people basically dropped it. Of course, there's always going to be those people that are still posting and stitching videos and coming for her, but overwhelmingly, like, are praising her for her nonchalantness and just keeping it moving, and has never had to, like, never has been blackmailed over anything. Mm-hmm. And like, I just think that, like, there are different things that different influencers based on identities are, like, vulnerable to, and different identities and things like that benefit them. And I think Michaela has cis privilege and other privileges that are at play that I just feel like impact the way that she's treated. And I love the story you shared about Nikki Tutorials and how that went, but I also feel like there's just not enough support in that. Like, that should have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that my comment earlier in the, when we started this episode of, this is like a microcosm of like our society and culture at large. I think we can see some of these things playing out,
mm-hmm.
even in like these examples of people's privileges and, different like things, you know, the intersectionality like coming to play and us seeing like in these little interactions and in the drama, in the midst of it, like what's actually happening, like who's supporting or not supporting, who is forgiving or not forgiving, who's canceling harder or like not as hard or mm-hmm. dropping it. And not everyone gets to have the same benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone has the same level of access, and not everyone can just move to a yak farm and just say, that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, it's a part of, I think, seeing the difference between how Michaela could just choose to not engage.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. That was her choice, and that's what she's doing. Jeffrey can choose to just become a conservative pundit.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki did not have that choice. Nikki...
Yeah.
Was going to be outed regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also highly demonstrates to me that the amount of ownership we think we have over these public people,
mm-hmm.
of you don't get to decide when you come out, I decide when you come out, mm-hmm. because you owe it to your fans. When,
right.
What?
Yes. And some people telling other influencers, you owe me this. And that influencer saying, no, you don't. And then we move on.
Mm-hmm.
People want access to Michaela's partner, Cody. And she says, back off. I will have Cody in a video when I want to. You don't get to dictate that or know things about him. That's personal.
Mm-hmm.
And people overwhelmingly support that. And then people back off. And there's a lot of people that would like almost be protective, as if like Michaela's a family member. But not every influencer has that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is just a bias because of the privilege, right? Like, she is in a straight relationship. Like, you know, I mean, not all these other people that I follow who have non-straight relationships, or, you know, they're trans, they're non-binary. Like, they're not treated the same way as these other influencers. So I feel type of way about that, because I'm starting to notice the difference in the comments and the way that people lose or keep followers and the backlash or non-backlash.
Yeah. I think it definitely depends, at least from my perspective, really strongly on what community are you influencing to,
mm-hmm.
originally?
Yes.
And what that community believes that they should have access to or not have access to. Mm-hmm. And I think a different kind of split I think about is, and I like the example of relationships, because you have Michaela who's like, yeah, I'm not gonna talk to you about Cody. Unless I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Nikki, who has Mr. Tutorials,
mm-hmm.
Who is her partner. He has an actual name. Dylan, yes.
Yeah.
Who's precious. Love Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, he was not much of a conversation piece. But then after
mm-hmm.
she came out as trans, became much more of a conversation piece. Because people were like, well, does he know that you're trans? Are you lying to Dylan, too? Is Dylan gay? Like, just... all these other questions that they have no access to.
Mm-hmm.
And then it reminds me of Harry Styles,
mm-hmm.
who refuses to say what his sexuality is.
Yeah,
will not do it.
Demanding.
And people hate it.
They hate it. They keep asking. They won't stop.
Feel that they are 100% owed a deep, in-depth explanation of what Harry Styles' sexuality is. And because he refuses to say it, they say he's queer baiting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting in that because we think we're owed all this access to all these people, when we don't get it, it turns into frequently anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns into, well, if you won't give it to me, we'll find it.
Yeah.
And the amount of, like, channels and videos I've seen dissecting Dylan or Mr. Tutorials of like, oh, he's gay because he does this, or he's gay because he does that. When I'm like, or he's a straight man who's in love with a woman. Like, what? Why?
Right.
Why do we need to do this? Or just going deeply in depth of Harry Styles all the way back to, was that One Direction? Yeah. All the way back to the One Direction days of just examining his every move to try to figure out. And which is extra gross because when he was first, I mean, he was a child. So it's just a lot of...
It is so gross. Who are we doing this to and who are we not doing this to? And also, why? It's just so
It's wild. The why. And it's like, to me, why. I see it in terms of we do it to everyone. It mm-hmm. just looks slightly different mm. in certain spaces. Because mm-hmm. we did this to Beyonce. When mm-hmm. she was pregnant and had her twins, people were obsessed with, we need to know the baby's names. And Beyonce's like, no.
demanding to know all the aspects. Yeah.
Like 100% access to your favorite celebrity. And if you don't have 100% access to your favorite celebrity, then they're lying to you.
Yeah. What are we entitled to? What are we owed? Well, apparently, folks think a lot.
Apparently.
Apparently.
So we'll ask you, dear listeners, what do you think we're owed access to? Or are we owed access to anyone? Are influencers celebrities?
Or are they para-celebrities? Are they celebrity adjacent? Mm-hmm. Have you found yourself wanting access to more? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about an influencer late at night? Are they okay? They seem a little unhinged. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be okay? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot. We'd love to hear your opinion, so feel free to get in touch.
We would. Also, we would love to know feedback on this episode. We kind of took a different vibe. It's a little bit less, scripted. Mm-hmm. So we would love to know kind of what your thoughts on that were, any ideas, vibes, thoughts. But until then, be looking out for a bonus episode coming out probably mid-ish March. But until then, thanks for joining us for this episode of That's Your Opinion.
And even though you were wrong, we still appreciate you.
Oh, and you know, if you have any opinions you'd like for us to consider and tell you how you're wrong, particularly about influencers, please email us at fixmyopinion@gmail.com.
Until next time.
A bientôt.